It's with Evan Thomas. His new book is Road to Surrender, Three Men and the Countdown to the End of World War II. We go to Tokyo. It is August 6th, August 7th. The bomb has been dropped in Hiroshima. The Big Six are learning that something has happened in Hiroshima that is unusual, except they're extremely reluctant to believe it. Togo, at this point, is still doing what he can, lobbying for a diplomatic surrender and not the final battle that will kill. Sometimes they boast about killing 100 million Japanese, along with all the Asian peoples who will be are dying at the rate of 250,000 a day. Togo goes to the emperor. Foreign minister asks for the audience with the emperor, and he goes to Hirohito. What does he tell the emperor, and what does the emperor, how does the emperor react to news of one bomb destroying one city?
But after the bombing of Hiroshima, although the army is in denial and doesn't even want to believe it is an atomic bomb, the emperor is starting to come around. He's mad at the military because they're not being straightforward with him. And his own court is telling him that that 100,000 people have died in Hiroshima. And the emperor starts to see, whoa, you know, the next bomb could be coming for me, for the palace. He's not totally wrong about that. And so he wants to push up the diplomacy with Russia, you know, get this done. By then he wants peace. He's on Togo's side by then. But the wheels are turning here. And the next day, the second bomb hits Nagasaki.
Yes, we go now to other points of view on the Big Six. The Big Six are the six ministers, Navy, Army, War Ministry, the Prime Minister, and the Foreign Minister. These are the men who are making decisions for all the Japanese people. The Big Six has to be convinced or at least persuaded or subdued. Anami is the most important player here. Does he believe that it's an atomic bomb? There's a man named Nishina who reports back to him. Nami sounds like he's ready to concede that the Allies have a wonder weapon. Is that accurate?
Yes, but that doesn't mean he's going to surrender, because he says at this meeting, now this is their meeting, the news of a second Hiroshima-style bomb arrives. Their meeting. And what does Nami say? He says, wouldn't it be beautiful if the entire nation were to perish like a flower? In other words, mass suicide. And he said at one point, he says, let them drop 100 bombs. Now, this may be crazy bluster in order to persuade his hot-headed lieutenants that he's still with them. But that's what he's saying. And the Supreme War Council is deadlocked. They don't know what to do. It's basically split down the middle. Half want to surrender, half want to keep fighting. The most important guy, Anami, wants to keep fighting. Finally, the emperor is persuaded to intervene. This is very unusual because, as we mentioned earlier, he usually doesn't even speak at these meetings.
It's now midnight after the second bomb has been dropped on Nagasaki. Please continue, Evan.
So he summons his war leaders into his bunker underneath the library, and he says, I agree with Togo, with Foreign Minister Togo, we must surrender. We must bear the unbearable. And so they do agree to surrender, but, and there's always a but, one of the noblemen, Hiranuma, says, no, well, we'll surrender, but we have to keep the emperor, and he must be sovereign. So the word, they surrender, but the word comes back to Washington, but with the sovereign empire. This is unacceptable to Truman and Burns and to all of them, because it means that, you know, you still have the old war machine there if you have a divine emperor. And so the United States answers, no, you can keep the emperor, but he has to be subject not to God, but to Douglas MacArthur, to the American commander. And that comes back, that cable comes back to Japan and was back to square one, because the Japanese won't accept that. They won't accept the idea that the emperor reports to an American general. So once more, the war council is divided, and some want to fight on, and some want to surrender. And finally, several days later, the emperor intervenes again, and there's a second, as they call it, a sacred decision, the Seidan.
But we have to build up to that, Evan, because we don't want to leave out the Potsdam Declaration. That was a document that Togo found promise in. He's a relentless person seeking for diplomacy. What is Togo's presentation to the emperor and to the Big Six about the Potsdam Declaration? How does he see that to their advantage?
Well, Togo argues that at least with the Potsdam Declaration, we can keep our country. He wants to accept it, especially with the proviso now that they can keep the emperor. That's good enough for him. He doesn't want to debate whether the emperor should be sovereign or not, but it gets out of his hands. He loses control of this because once they are insisting on a sovereign emperor, on the debate goes. And again, it takes another intervention by the emperor, and the emperor is wise about this. He says, if it really doesn't matter if they say that I must be part of the demand is that the Japanese government be chosen by its people. This is very un-Japanese. And the emperor's advisors tell him to resist that. But he says, well, look, if the people are not for me, it doesn't matter. This isn't going to go on. So he has some kind of political wisdom about this, and he accepts the conditions. Now, as it turned out, it did save his skin because the Americans prop him up as the emperor because the Japanese people need an emperor, and MacArthur's smart enough to know that. But the emperor shows some political wisdom here at the end.
And the Big Six, is there self-interest in their reluctance to surrender because of the war crimes part? Does that make them hesitate?
Absolutely. They're well aware that they're going to be tried. And that is what happens. A couple of them die of natural causes. But Anami kills himself. Toyota actually is acquitted at the war trial. I'm trying to think here. Suzuki dies. Yonai dies. But Togo, in one of history's ironies, the hero, we should have given a medal to Togo. He's sentenced to 20 years for war crimes because he was in the Japanese cabinet at the time of Pearl Harbor. And that's bad enough for the war crimes trials. And so he dies in prison. Nuts. But that's what happened. They're all afraid. They're all afraid of
war crimes. The book is Road to Surrender, Evan Thomas. When we come back, after the bombs are dropped, what is the thinking on the American side of this equation? I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.